This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Welcome to the February 22nd podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Pediatrics. My name is Natalie Pynchon, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. Topics covered in this week's podcast are oncology and hydrocephalus. Dynamic changes in magnetic resonance imaging appearance of disembryoplastic neuroepithelial tumor with or without malignant transformation. A report of two cases by Yui Mano and colleagues. The authors report two unusual cases of disembryoplastic neuroepithelial tumor, or DNET. The first case involved the emergence of an enhancing lesion on MRI with confirmation of malignant transformation, diagnosed as anaplastic oligodendroglioma with DNET, during the natural course of 4 years of clinico-radiologically diagnosed DNET without initial histological verification. The second case was a recurrent DNET with enhancement on MRI 10 years after the initial total resection. The authors describe the molecular characterization of these lesions, and they review the literature on dynamic radiographic changes of DNET with or without malignant transformation. They conclude that if follow-up MRI reveals progressive behavior, resection should be performed without delay. They note that additional radiochemotherapy is needed if the histological diagnosis demonstrates malignant transformation. The peri-umbilical approach in ventriculoperitoneal shunt placement, technique and long-term results. A clinical article by Pablo Recinos and co-authors. Standard ventriculoperitoneal shunt placement techniques utilize a mini laparotomy for distal catheter placement. The mini laparotomy can result in significant morbidity, including adhesion development, hernia formation, and a cosmetically unappealing scar. The transumbilical approach for distal shunt catheter placement is a minimally invasive technique that improves cosmesis and lowers morbidity. However, it requires specialized laparoscopic equipment and assistance from a general surgeon. In this article, the authors describe an alternative minimally invasive method for placement of the distal portion of a VP shunt system. Using a periumbilical entry point for placement of the distal catheter resulted in a low morbidity rate without requiring involvement of a general surgeon and additional specialized laparoscopic equipment. In addition, a cosmetically favorable result was obtained in all cases. Thus, the periumbilical approach may be considered as an alternative option to standard VP shunt placement techniques. Skull-based surgery for tumors in children. Long-term clinical and functional outcome. A clinical article by Carolyn Hayhurst and co-authors. In this paper, the skull-based team at the Alder Hey Children's Hospital in the United Kingdom present their experience of 23 complex skull-based procedures in children for a variety of tumors, focusing on long-term functional and educational outcome. This is the first pediatric skull-based series to objectively measure outcome using the late effects severity score, which correlates with neurocognitive outcome. Overall, children tolerated extensive skull-based procedures well and returned to normal life, but cerebrospinal fluid leaks and meningitis can be associated with long-term cognitive problems. 85% of children in this series returned to mainstream education, despite almost 60% undergoing adjuvant chemotherapy or radiotherapy. Two children had permanent unanticipated neurological deficits. The authors highlight the role of endoscopy, neuronavigation, and intraoperative magnetic resonance imaging in improving the safety and outcome of skull-base surgery in children. Primary intramedullary spinal cord germinoma, a case report by Megha Madhukar and co-workers. Primary intramedullary spinal cord germinoma, or PISCG, is an exceedingly rare diagnosis, with fewer than 30 cases reported in the literature. It is even less common in the pediatric population. Usually, initial imaging at patient presentation reveals a mass. The authors of this study describe the unique case of a child whose initial imaging showed only focal spinal cord atrophy, which was the earliest sign of a slowly growing intramedullary lesion that was eventually proven via biopsy to represent a PISCG. The authors outline this child's diagnostically challenging presentation. They review the events leading up to a diagnosis and briefly discuss PISCG. They summarize their recommendations for other physicians who may encounter a similar case. They assert that PISCG should be considered as a rare entity in the differential diagnosis of progressive spinal cord dysfunction, even in the absence of an MRI abnormality of an intrinsic spinal cord mass, especially if there is unexplained focal atrophy of the cord. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes to access all our podcasts and videos, all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.